your word tonight. I submit myself as the vessel. My prayer, as always, is that you keep me from error this night. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. Good evening. How is everybody tonight? Amen. Glad to hear it. Well, tonight's message is a second message from topics that I chose from my morning devotionals. I told you last time when I ministered on worry and anxiety that I like to read some of the reading plans from the YouVersion Bible app. Those of you who are not familiar with it, you can come up and ask me about it after the service. But I wanted to choose topics that I know we all deal with. And some of you may be at a point in your walk where you don't have to deal with this anymore. As for me, and maybe some of you like me, we're still working it out, amen? But tonight's message is on forgiveness. So I decided, you know, I wanted to start off, maybe even be a little bit technical, but that's just not my style. So I just went to the Webster's and I looked up the word forgiving. And lo and behold, the first definition was the act of forgiving someone or something. And I thought, boy, this is really a good idea. Captain Obvious, right? But I like the second definition. Listen to this one. The attitude of someone who is willing to forgive other people. The attitude of someone who is willing to forgive other people. And I like that definition because it verifies that forgiveness is an act of our will. Forgiveness is an act of our will. So let's turn together to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Matthew 18. I will tell you to throw a bookmarker in there. We will be coming back tonight. Matthew 18. I want to read verses 21 and 22 from the New Living Translation. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came and to him and ask, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Let me read to you the Life Application study note for that scripture. The rabbis taught that people should forgive those who offend them, but only three times. Peter, trying to be especially generous, asked Jesus if seven, God's perfect number, was enough times to forgive someone. But Jesus answered 70 times seven, meaning that we shouldn't even keep track of how many times we forgive someone. We should always forgive those who are truly repentant, no matter how many times they ask. Look down to verse 35. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. One more Life Application study note. Because God has forgiven all our sins, we should not withhold forgiveness from others. As we realize how completely Christ has forgiven us, it should produce an attitude of forgiveness toward others. When we don't forgive others, we are setting ourselves above Christ's law of love. So forgiveness, like just about everything else in our walk, is a heart thing, isn't it? I thought it was interesting that the word heart occurs 833 times in 765 verses of Scripture in the King James Bible. So you think the heart might be a little important, right? Let's just look at a couple of them. Look to 1 Samuel chapter 16, Old Testament elder. 1 Samuel chapter 16. You'll remember Samuel is going to find Saul's replacement because Saul got rejected, right? So he's looking at all these manly men. Verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. It's one of Pastor Jack's foundation scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your
heart.
With all your
heart.
And lean not to your own understanding. Amen. Verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen.
Amen.
How about Romans? Romans chapter 10. Verses 9 and 10, church. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your
heart
that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the
heart
one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So salvation is a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And by the sounds of Matthew 18:35, I think we could say so is forgiveness. Amen? So back in 2009, I preached a message titled Forgiveness Brings Freedom, and I confess to everybody that I lived with unforgiveness for 12 years. And while I don't care to rehash all the embarrassing details, I do want to share some of those scriptures, some of those thoughts that finally set me free after 12 years. So let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. So before we do all that, we need to set a foundation here. So let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, we're going to read verses 9 through 15. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that's usually where we want to stop, but we're going to keep going. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, all you Bannonites in here, if you open your Bible, it probably falls open to that. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not a whole lot of gray area there. Now, there's not too much to get confused on. So would you say that forgiveness is a suggestion or a command here? Now listen to the Amplified Classic. Elder Vish. Remember I told you the new Amplified and the old Amplified Classic, different verses? Here's one of them. I'll stick with the Amplified Classic. Thank you very much. Lord, I'm not old enough to do a classic. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. All right. If that's not clear enough for you, let's look to one more. Let's look to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 13. Colossians 3:13. Make allowance for each other's faults. Timmy, did you hear what I'm saying? Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Got me, Tim? Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Must sounds like a command to me. Church pastor has always taught us that when we refuse to forgive, we put ourselves into bondage. Amen. And I know you're sitting here, you're saying amen, brother. And I said amen too the whole time that I was in bondage for 12 years. I knew I was supposed to forgive people. And yes, I knew it was a command of Almighty God. I knew that it was a condition for my own sins to be forgiven. But it still took me 12 years. 12 years. So let's go back to Matthew 18. I promised you we'd go back. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I want to share with you these scriptures that help set me free from that nonsense. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 23 through 35 from the Amplified Classic. Therefore, verse 23, the kingdom of heaven is like a human king who wished to settle accounts with his attendants. When he began his accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Amplified says probably about $10 million. I looked in the Dake. Dake said it's probably $290.85 million. Now, I remember Bert doing a teaching, and you guys who were there can correct me, but she said it was more than that man could have made in his entire life, right? So I think we'll stick with $290.85 million for tonight anyway. Verse 25, and because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed, and payment to be made. So the attendant fell on his knees, begging him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Verse 27, and his master's heart was moved with compassion, and he released him, forgave him, canceling the debt. How much was the debt? $290.85 million. Verse 28. But that same attendant, as he went out, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii. Amplified says about $20. Dake says $17. Once again, we'll stick with the Dake for tonight and call it $17. And he caught him by the throat and said, pay what you owe. Now, I have to stop you here. Because in those 12 years, every time I would think about or talk about one of those individuals, I would literally say, you know, I would like to meet so-and-so in a dark alley and get him by the throat. You know, sometimes when you read the word and it just sort of comes off the page and lambastes you, Tony?
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened. Finally happened for me, okay? So that was the scripture. This is the teaching, but that's the scripture. Because he could not pay, and his master's heart was, I don't want to go there either. But that same attendant, as he went out, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii, about $17, and he caught him by the throat and said, pay what you owe. So his fellow attendants fell down and begged him earnestly, give me time and I will pay you all. Sound familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Verse 30, but he was unwilling. And he went out and had him put in prison till he should pay the debt. When his fellow attendants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and told everything that had happened, that had taken place, to their master. Then his master called him and said, you contemptible and wicked attendant, I forgave and canceled that $290,850,000 debt. Because you begged me to, and should you have not have had pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I had pity and mercy on you. And in wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers till he should pay all that he owed. So also, verse 35 says, my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. Church, can we get real and consider what Jesus just said there? So also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. So in my own study time, God finally got through my thick, follically challenged head, that I was that contemptible and wicked attendant. You see, in 1992, I asked Jesus to forgive my $290.85 million list of sins, and he did it instantly. And then God asked me for 12 years to forgive a few measly $17 sins, and I refused. Yeah. Wasted time. 100% wasted time. Amen. The best part of all that was the freedom that came when I finally made the choice to let it go. John 8:36 says, "If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." The weight that was lifted from my shoulders that morning was unbelievable. Look to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This is one of my favorite psalms. Trust, delight, commit, and rest, right? Psalm 37. Today we're just going to focus on verse 5. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." It's been a couple months now, but Pastor Jack taught us that that word translated commit is the Hebrew word galal, and it means to roll. That's what the Lord showed me. You know how weightlifters, you know, when they're going to lift a humongous weight, they stand with their feet shoulder length apart, and they bend at the knees, and they get up and they grab it. Well, this weight is too large for us to grasp and lift. So we literally have to get under it and roll it, okay? Listen to the Amplified Classic, Psalm 37:5. "Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on Him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in Him, and He will bring it to pass." Church, we're not designed to carry that kind of load. We're not designed to. And the other thing is, Jesus doesn't want us to. Look to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Jesus knows that people are not capable of bearing the weight of the past hurts and past offenses. He knows that they'll suffocate one's joy and peace. Forgiveness is God's solution for that scared soul. Bearing the cares of humanity is God's mastery, man. It's what He does. He specializes in taking our cares upon Himself. Let's look to one more. Look to 1 Peter. Chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7, Amplified Classic. "Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully." All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. You know what all means in the Greek? You know what that means in the Greek, Mom? It means all. It means all. Listen to this. This is from an article I read by the Reverend Jacob Rodriguez. Little Irish fella. "A very important fact to understand is that forgiveness releases a person from the role of victim." Boy, don't we just love to jump in that victim seat. Yes, sir. "There is no way to hold an offender hostage in one's mind. The only one being captive is the one who is unwilling to offer forgiveness. He or she is kept there by his or her emotions. Come on, you know that's true. There's no way to hold somebody hostage in our minds, is there? It's all a waste of time. Look to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now that's pretty good, but listen to it in the Message Bible. You ready? Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face just as easily as Dean did. I put that in there, Bob. It says anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God's confidence. Ain't none of us immune to this, church. And I have to say this. I'm not making light of any offense that you may have experienced. Not at all. And I'm not saying that you're not justified in feeling the hurt, because you know what? That pain's real. I want you to know something. It's not okay. When someone hurts you, it's not okay. When somebody hurts you, Jesus doesn't take it lightly. How do you know that, Brother Dean? Thanks for asking. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Conversion of Saul. Boy, does this preach in the jail, huh? I'm going to read the first three verses out of the New King James, then I'm going to switch over to the Amplified for verses 4 and 5. Verse 1 says, Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground. Here comes the Amplified. Then he heard with a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, harassing, troubling, and molesting me? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? Answered his own question. And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is dangerous, and it will turn out badly for you if you keep kicking against the goad to offer vain and perilous resistance. I want you to notice, Jesus didn't say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute my followers? He didn't say that. Why do you persecute my disciples? No, that's not what he said. He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. The master knows what it's like. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. To verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Our high priest knows all about our hurts and weaknesses. He knows what it's like to be the outcast. He knows what it's like to be made fun of. He knows what it's like to be rejected. And yeah, he knows what it's like to be betrayed. Only he did it all and never sinned. Amen. Our example is found in Luke's gospel. Let's go there. Luke's gospel, chapter 23. Luke's gospel, 23. I'm going to read verses 33 and 34. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The verses 3 and 4, church. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. For consider him. I got some real good news for you. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Giving you a lot of scripture tonight. Who wants to hear what I have to say, right? I'd rather give you what he has to say. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 19. Amplified Classic. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, church, I read all this and it becomes very clear to me that forgiveness is for the forgiver, not the forgivee. Yeah. Let me say that again. Yeah. Forgiveness is for the forgiver, amen, not the forgivee. Amen. We are not, I said it once, I'm going to say it again, we're not built to carry all of that weight. That bitterness and self-imposed mental anguish, that's exactly what it is, self-imposed, does us absolutely no good at all. I read this nugget. Unforgiveness is like a poison destroying the heart and mind. Yeah. Think about it, man. 12 years. Amen. You say, okay, I got the message. I have to forgive. How do I do that, Brother D? I just told you it took me 12 years to figure it out. Maybe we can find a starting point from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Let's look to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to read verses 43 to 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Piece of cake, right? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now that's good. Here's the message. Matthew 5:43 message. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone regardless, the good, the bad, the nice, and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. Verse 48. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you. You thought the Amplified was intense, right? So church, listen, I'm wrapping this up. But I want to leave you with some thoughts here, five of them. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. Yes, it's God's command, but he gave each one of us our own free will, and he will not violate it. It's up to us to be obedient and make the choice. Number two, forgiveness is not a truce, it's a pardon. Forgiveness is not a truce, it's a pardon. We're not agreeing, we are releasing. Amen? Number three, unforgiveness brings three harmful results: bitterness, blame, and bondage. Unforgiveness brings three harmful results: bitterness, blame, and bondage. Bitterness without forgiveness will surely infect those who are struck by it. It eats away at one's heart and life and causes men and women to become emotionally callous and vengeful. Blame works in the same way as bitterness. It causes vicious cycles of pain and sorrow by repeating the matter continually over and over and over again. Blaming the offender, the offense gets larger and larger each time the story is told, and a person is never able to find true rest or deal with the reality of the situation. Although it can make one feel for a moment that emotional progress is being made, blame is an inner defense that never solves the problem. Selah. Bondage. Refusing to forgive is spiritual incarceration or bondage. It's the cause of the victim mentality. I think whoever wrote that was studying our pastor. Thank God for the teaching we get here. Victim mentality. There are many men and women who feel that they are forever captive by the actions done against them. They feel that no matter what they do, their destiny and potential are cursed by their past. Many also feel that by not forgiving, they're proving to their past that they are strong and a survivor. Yeah, that'll teach them. However, nothing can replace the power of forgiveness. Number four, forgiveness brings freedom. Forgiveness benefits the offended one, not the offender. Once forgiveness is given, the problem is given over to God to be handled, and the person offering forgiveness is released into freedom. Amen. And I'm going to leave you with this. This is from Kenneth Copeland. This is called The Five Don'ts of Forgiveness. Are you ready? In case you haven't heard, forgiveness is important. I just spent the last 33 minutes and 20 seconds telling you that. In fact, our Christian life doesn't work without it. Jesus forgave us, so it just doesn't work for us to withhold forgiveness from those who hurt us. To help you in this forgiveness thing, let me give you the don'ts of forgiveness. First, don't internalize the hurt. Don't internalize the hurt. Now, I'd be a hypocrite if I said not to personalize it. Just face it, hurt hurts, which makes it pretty impossible not to personalize it. I'm just saying, don't let it affect who you are. Let Christ determine who you are, not your pain. Amen. Second, don't make it more than it needs to be. Don't make it more than it needs to be. God's heart is always, as David prayed in Psalm 51. Remember, that was the one where he committed murder and adultery with Bathsheba. God, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. God wants us to be restored, church. Or he wouldn't have bothered sending Jesus so that we could be forgiven. And we need to pray for restoration for those who hurt us. Now that's tough, but that's what we need to do. We need to pray for restoration for those who hurt us. Third, don't miss the opportunity to be merciful. Don't miss the opportunity to be merciful. Mercy is defined as not getting what you deserve. I don't know about you, but I don't want what I deserve. Amen. James 2:13 says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. Whatever offense you have, mercy wins. And if you want mercy instead of judgment, you'd better give mercy instead of judgment. Fourth, don't limit God's love. Don't limit God's love. Scripture says that love keeps no record of wrongs. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If we have God's love in us, then we have to do the same. Don't limit God's love working in and through you to forgive. I remember Pastor did a teaching. He said, you know what? Some people are just unlovable. And you just got to pray, Lord, love them through me. I think we could ask him to do the same with forgiveness.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
And finally, don't fail the forgiveness test. Don't fail the forgiveness test. Forgiveness is a test of our obedience to Christ Jesus. Because he didn't leave us a choice. He didn't say, these things you must forgive and these things are too terrible to forgive. It's not what he said. He said we must forgive, period.
Yeah.
Period. So what issues do you have unsettled in your life? Choose to forgive today so that you may be free and so that others might see Jesus in you.
Amen.
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 I will pray a prayer of dismissal, and if you have need of prayer, Elder Bob, Brother Timmy will be up here. We'll be our privilege to pray with you. Amen.